few weeks ago started a sermon series on reconciliation, talking about what it means for us to become, if you've got relationships that have become frayed, divided, not as close as they used to. When you see somebody, you look at them and you think, we used to be friends, but I don't know them anymore. I don't feel like I can know them anymore. How do we go about reconciling, becoming united again with people that we used to be united with? You know, the thing about being a Christian, fundamental to being a Christian, is the idea that broken things can get fixed. That the restoration of all things is at the heart of God's project, and that you and I are constantly being repaired and fixed as we submit our lives to Christ, and participating in God's project of fixing all things, restoring all things, means that we are always a part of being reconciled, not just to each other, but to God. Very often we can misunderstand how far we are from God, because we can feel very close to God because we experience our relationship with God sometimes silently when everything's going well. Like, go out there and live my life and do everything and hustle and make it, and then come back and, you know, sit down, everything's good, and then I read my Bible while things are peaceful, and yeah, I'm good with God. It doesn't actually work that way. Being good with God means that we are faithful to God in every aspect of our life. We are participating in God's reconciliation, even when things aren't going well. 2 weeks ago, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's trespasses against him. And he has given us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we are showing up as if we are Christ himself. When I am face with you, my sister, my brother, I am face to face with a living embodiment of Christ. Here I am, a person to the degree to which I have found my ability to submit my life to Christ. I am standing before you an ambassador, an image bearer of God, and I am standing face to face with another ambassador, another image bearer of God. And here we are, both participating in God's reconciliation, because we have abandoned our selfish intuitions and we have picked up a character, the attributes of God himself in Christ Jesus. We have submitted ourselves to Christ, and we are standing before each other bearing that that work of Christ as we are being healed. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his plea through us. We plead with you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, this is the linchpin for all reconciliation. If I feel like my relationship with you has been busted in some way, it is not true that that's the biggest thing going on. If it is true that there's a problem that has happened between my relationship with you, then before that, on top of that, over that, there has been a breach of relationship between you and God, or me and God, or you and God and me and God. The first breach of relationship is always the breach of relationship with God. He is the one that we have sinned against first. Any ill, any hurt that we have caused anyone in the world has first been a sin, has first been damage towards God. He is the creator of all things. He is our Father. He loves us. And when we hurt one another, we have hurt him. And so he is first the one that we have to be reconciled to. We looked at that last week or 2 weeks ago. Last week, Leslie kind of walked us through reading the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is just one relationship after the other being reconciled. What it looks like, Jesus painting a picture of reconciled lives and the admonition to be reconciled in all those ways. Today, I wanted to look at practically what I think is helpful in how we go about participating in this reconciliation. What kind of things, what steps do, if I take seriously that I am an ambassador for Christ, that is my job to participate in God's reconciliation, what can I do practically to be a part of that? How do I go about doing that? I think sometimes Christians can come across one or two different ways. They can be like pushovers. I just want to be nice to everybody, you know? And they're just kind of like wallflowers and just doormats. On the other hand, they can be like, repent and be super like aggressive and like, you know. And the thing is, both of those are part of it. And that's the issue. The reason that we kind of fall out both those ways is because we do actually need to be very humble. And we do need to be bold as well. And so I want to walk through what that, I think that humble, bold process of participating in God's relationship, God's work of reconciliation looks like. I think the first place to go to is what part of what you guys read last week in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. This is always the first step for any breach in relationship with anyone. Not because it's the most like humble, because it's actually this is the lowest hanging fruit. What I'm about to read is actually the easiest step to take in restoring a relationship, because you are able to participate in all of it. Jesus said, "Why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." This is really important for me. My instinct, now everybody has a different personality, but my instinct when there's a problem between you and me is that you need to change something. So you might have like if there's a problem between you and me, like, oh, what did I do wrong, right? I don't have that instinct. I have a like, oh, you probably need to change something, right? Allison says, "You're pretty arrogant," right? And that's what she means. It's that part right there. For me, though, it's actually really helpful, because this command from Christ that my first move is to look into myself and to figure out to what degree is it possible that any breach in our relationship, anything that's been broken between us, is a result of my hypocrisy, of something that I've done wrong. That means that if I want there to be a fixed relationship between us, I can have that. If I am the cause of it, then I'm in a position to be able to fix it and to have a good relationship with you, or to do what I can to restore it. If you're the one, if you've done something wrong, if I've been the innocent party, if I'm the victim here, and you've done something wrong, I'm not in a position to be empowered to do anything about it. What Jesus is saying here is actually very empowering. Your first move in reconciliation is to root out anything that you, in what way have I interacted with this person that has caused us to have a break in fellowship? I want to look at any of that. Now, a lot of times we even if we get to that thought, we don't extend that out far enough. What I want to say is, a lot of times the break in relationship with the other person isn't necessarily something I've done with them. It could be something that has shown up in my character that wasn't directly related to them, but they've seen and that they've picked out of my relationship that they're no longer comfortable with. There are three zones of relationship we've talked about several times, and I just want to touch on it again. Faithing God, loving people, and stewarding resources. The whole Bible looks at these three zones of relationships and is very consistent and demanding that we treat each of these zones differently. We are not to have, put our faith in our stuff. We don't love our stuff. We manage our resources. We're stewards of our resources. I don't put my faith in you. I don't use you. I love you. Love means to will the good of. I desire your good. And to faith God. I'm not trying to get God to adjust his thinking to do what I want him to do. I'm not trying to use him. I'm not treating him like my buddy, like a peer. I submit to him. And the way I think about that is it, any way that I can deduce that God and I disagree, he's always right and I'm always wrong. He's smarter than I am. And so I put my faith in him. It doesn't make sense for me to trust myself like I trust him. So I put my faith in him. And is there any way, if you and I are, no, there's like a, you know, we're not in one accord, we're not in fellowship, we're not doing well together, that is an indication that I need to first take a step back and look and just kind of do a ruthless self-inventory. Have I neglected to place my faith in Christ in any way? Have I neglected to desire your good or the good of others? Have I been a poor steward of my things? When there's a break in my fellowship with you, that my first move is to really inspect the log in my own eye. Not even like, at that point, I'm not even doing that thinking, how can I fix my relationship with you? That was just like an indication that there's something wrong going on. And so let me take a step back and really inspect all these zones in my life and say, God, when it comes to my faith in you, or when it comes to my my really caring for the love of other people or being a good steward of my resources, is there anything that I need to repent from? Is there a new way that I need to be thinking? And this is that ministry of reconciliation. We need to be reconciled to God in the way we treat him, in the way we treat other people, in the way we treat our things. In Matthew, it says that Jesus went from town to town saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For me to be reconciled with God means I'm in his kingdom, which means I am repenting from sin. That is the first step. Before I even go back to you and think like, how can I restore my relationship with you? My first step is to do it, just thoroughly ask myself, in which ways have I failed to be an ambassador for Christ in his ministry of reconciliation? As I take on the image of Christ, I'm in a position then to be reconciled with you, to participate in his reconciliation. But if I'm not, if I haven't taken on the image of Christ, all I'm doing is trying to manage you. I'm trying to figure out some way. I'm avoiding submitting to Christ, and I'm trying to go to you and figure out how can we be okay together? Like, as if it matters that you and I figure out some way to be okay with each other apart from God. Nothing good comes from that. God is good. Any relationship that I could establish with you that has bypassed submission to God, nothing good's going to come from that anyway. What's the point? And so my first step is to say, okay, God, something is wrong between me and this person that I was friends with. I don't know what to do about it. I know that you have offered us the ministry of reconciliation, that you have put us in a position that we can be reconciled. But for me to get there, I have to go back and reassert my willingness to submit to you in all these ways. For me, prayer, meditation, taking the time to really inspect all that and to confess is really important, very helpful. After that, after I've gotten to the point that I have, I'll be honest with you, that almost always takes care of it. I have noticed that when I have a problem with you, mostly it's me. It's not my instinct. It's not my first thought. But once I get to the point that I am, I don't know, that I'm back to being myself is the way it feels. When I am who I really feel, who I really knew who I am in Christ, my relationships with other people improve almost all the time. But maybe that doesn't do it. Maybe that's not everything, right? We were talking to my link group, and there was somebody brought up an example of something that's very minor. Like, what about like this, this thing about like, I wish he loaded the dishwasher this way, or I wish that, and I just get really frustrated about this detail or something, right? And for them, and for you, you're thinking like, it's not a big deal. It's nothing, right? But for that other person, they're really frustrated by it. Little details that like over time you say, I just don't want to be friends. I just don't enjoy this person. I just don't enjoy the details about the way they do things. And I just don't want to be around them. I just don't enjoy them. I'm going to pull out this example from Paul that I think it applies. We'll see if you agree with me. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and he's talking about food sacrifice to idols. He says, some are accustomed to thinking that idols are real beings. Like he's like, in our culture, in Corinth, in this city, there are people around us who actually believe there are lots of gods, and they think that these foods that have been sacrificed to these gods mean something. So when they eat that food that has been offered to those idols, they think of it as worshiping those real gods. He's like, I don't, because they don't exist. It's not possible for this to be food offered to idols, because idols don't exist. He's like, this is, you know, and their weak consciences are violated. I think this is sometimes I don't know if Paul's digging on accident or on purpose, but this idea, I know that there are no idols, but they have a weak conscience. They're not as enlightened as we are, you know? I mean, he's kind of right. That little detail that frustrates that other person that doesn't irritate you, they're kind of high strung. They need to chill out. You could tell that person, like, chill out, bro. It's cool. It's not a big deal. Because that's always really helpful. If you're like, if somebody's upset with you about something that you've done, I always recommend first step is like, hey, it's not a big deal. Don't stress it. That works. But he is right that if I am the one that is getting irritated over these small things, I am the weaker one in this situation. I just have to be honest. The more inconsequential things that I allow irritate me to the point that I'm willing to break some sort of fellowship with you, that's a weakness on my part, okay? I could say that about myself. Definitely can't say it about somebody else that I'm irritating. But we should all, while we're all here not irritating each other, let's just admit that if we're the ones being irritated, we are the ones weak in that, okay? But then he says, but you must be careful so that your freedom, you know that it's not a big deal, your freedom doesn't cause others with that weak conscience to stumble. For if others see you with that superior knowledge eating in the temple with a temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their own conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? He's talking about this in the faith, God, love, people, manage resources. He's talking about this in the category of faith in God. They're going to look at you eating that food, and you're like, this is a resource category. I'm just eating food. But they're going to look at you doing that, and they're going to think that you're in a faith category. You're offering up worship to this idol. They're going to misunderstand what you're doing because you're like, there is no idol to worship. All I'm doing is eating food. And they're like, no, that food was offered up to an idol. You're worshiping that other god. If it's okay for you to do it, is it okay for me to do it? What's going on here? And Paul's like, it's not a big deal. I don't need to eat this. I don't need to eat any meat if it's a problem. It's not a big deal. And I just don't need to do it. Like, I can also, it's not a big deal that I have not folded the clothes, and I can just fold the clothes. Like, the problem comes in when you've got two weak people who are like, it's a big deal to me that you do this. And the other one says, I don't have to do it. You both assert that a small thing is a big thing. And you've got two people, no one's willing to to be mature in that situation. Ideally, both of you get to the point that you say, it really isn't a big, it's not a big deal that you've done that, and it's not a big deal that I wouldn't do that. Either way is fine. But I can't control the other person. I can control me. And if for them it is a big deal that I've done it, then I could just not do it. You know? I don't need to. I can be the one that is participating with Jesus in his ministry of reconciliation. I can do that. I don't need the other person to join me in that for that to be resolved. So already, if I've had a problem with you, the first thing I've done, removing the plank out of my own eye and really reasserting the character of Christ in my life, has resolved a lot of bad relationships or hurt relationships. Then if I'm willing to do small things, not because like I'm a wallflower, but because according to Paul, it's actually the stronger person that's willing to say these small things are just small things, and it's okay. It's okay for me to put up my shoes. It's okay for me to load the dishwasher. It's okay for me to make the bed. Whatever those small things are that are irritating the person, it's fine to do, you know? That resolves it. That doesn't resolve everything. There are breaks of fellowship that rise to the level that the other person has actually sinned against God. And the breach of relationship that you have with them is a result of the breach of the relationship they have created between them and God. And at that point, it's very important that we don't simply avoid, or we don't say like, well, I'll just be a better person, or I'll just do this thing. And we look for ways to avoid confronting that breach of relationship. I have a problem. Like, I jump to this next stage too quick. For me, I need to pay a lot more attention to like dealing with the log out of my own eye, saying this is really a small thing. It's okay. For me, this next part is comes more naturally. I kind of like this next part. But for you, you might be one who's like, gosh, I couldn't imagine myself getting to this next part. It doesn't matter. You're broken one way, I'm broken one way. Part of this whole aspect of participating in CrossFit, some of this stuff is going to come more naturally to you than others. At some point, you're going to have to do some part of this that really requires you to depend on Christ and just have faith in him. So if for you this next part is really hard, that's okay, because for some other people, those other parts are really hard. Jesus says, if another believer, if someone else who has said they have taken on this ministry of reconciliation, if another believer sins against you, and if they have sinned against you, they have also sinned against God. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out their offense. You're not looking to shame them. You're not looking to embarrass them. But you are starting from the presumption that they are not thinking correctly now. They haven't noticed something. For whatever reason, they need you to go to them and say, hey, you need to rethink the way you're doing this. The way that you approached this situation, that wasn't loving. That wasn't good. There's a better way to do that. Almost always, when you do that, the other person responds negatively right away. Almost always. You should presume that when you go to a person to tell them that they've done something wrong, they will say, no, it's you. You've done something wrong, which is why it's so good to have first dealt with the log in your own eye. You can go to them, and when you are really at peace with God, when you go to your brother in love in order to help restore them, when they come back at you, because they're at a low spot anyway, the only reason you have to go talk to them is because they're really not in a good space with God in the first place. When they come back at you, it doesn't feel like an attack against you, because you know that the real struggle that they're having is with God in the first place. You just happen to be the person in front of them, so of course they're attacking you. No big deal. They... So you go back and you tell them this is what's gone on. They're going to say something harsh back to you, and you say, okay, but still, the way you did that wasn't okay. And there's got to be a better way to do that. We can walk, we can talk that through. We can work this through. You don't take on that whatever anger they're bringing at you. If it's gotten to this point, to the point that there is something broken with them and they have it dealt with the log out of their own eye, and you are having to function as God's ambassador to them in that, it's, if it goes well and they're like, you know what, you're right, thank you for coming to me, bro, I would be like, that never happens to me. I got to know how you did that, because you're really good at it. You should just anticipate that they are going to respond poorly, okay? That's okay. Anticipate that it's going to go poorly. Let it wash over you. It doesn't matter. You're not coming to them to be nice to you. You're coming to them to help them deal with something that's hurtful. They're in a bad spot, and they need to be reconciled to God. And if they need you to go to them, there's something off, and you should anticipate that they're going to respond poorly. So let them come at you. Give it some time. Come back to the beginning and see how that goes. If at that point, if not just the initial heat is a negative response, but they are actively against what you have to say, then Jesus says, if the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. That's great. And again, it probably isn't going to happen that first minute. It might be the next day, okay? But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again. Let me tell you what's really helpful about this. If I'm like, man, this person's in a bad spot and I need to go address them, and they come back at me, I go to two other people or another person that's really mature. If they're mature, they love that person really well. That's somebody that I know cares about me and cares about them. That person will also have gone through the process of dealing with the log in their own eye. They'll have done all that. And they're in a position to tell me, Clay, I think you got this wrong. Like, that's good too. Maybe when I went to that other person and they responded poorly, partly that was because I did my part wrong. That's good to know. That other person isn't just going to, you're not just looking for somebody to be on Team Clay to go get that other dude, right? You're looking for somebody that is literally, their goal in this is to be a part of God's ministry of reconciliation. And they are mature in the way they approach stuff. And they're willing to let you know if you've done something wrong in this. And they'll also go with you to address things with that other person. Okay? You are not looking for allies to win your part of the disagreement here. You're looking for somebody that's mature in Christ, who is an ambassador to Christ, participating in his ministry of reconciliation, and including them in it. And then he says, go back again so that everything that you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. They can say like, yep, that's what you said there is good, or nope, actually, I kind of see things differently. That's fine. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Now, this is where it gets really, this is where it gets tough. When I have taken the case to the church, the way it's worked out is our small group leaders, we get together. Horizon exists. We are a bunch of small groups that meet during the week, and we have small group leaders. And those small group leaders, we get together and we like talk about how things are going with the church, and we help the other small group leaders out. I'd get together with the other small group leaders and say, hey, this is what's going on. It hasn't happened very often. Leslie and I have talked to this other person. This is the way things have gone. We need to get together. We need to pray about this and then figure out what we need to do about it. The very worst situation that we've been in was we had to go back to that person and say, listen, we always want you to be a part of Horizon, but what you're doing can't be a part of Horizon. You need to stop doing that thing. Once you stop doing that thing, we welcome you to be a part. But as long as you're doing that, you're hurting people here. And that thing can't be a part of us. We actually, that person left Horizon because they, to them, that thing they did was, they didn't think that they were doing anything wrong. So I guess that's like excommunication. Like, excommunication for us isn't like, you have to leave. It's like, we want you here, but that thing that you're doing can't be a part of a healthy community. That's dangerous. That's how that worked. He says, and if they still won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. All that means is that person is not in fellowship. A tax collector was a person who wasn't in fellowship, wasn't a part. They are at that point, you know, they're no less loved. They're no less, the desire is for them to repent and to be a part, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So evangelism, them being a part of the community is something you want. Your goal is never to get rid of somebody or to, is to break fellowship with somebody. But if a person is unwilling to be a part of God's goodness, then there isn't a fellowship with them in the church. If they're actively thwarting that. And I have to tell you, there is nothing enjoyable about that at all. Like, it's getting to that point is just, it feels awful. And if you've gotten to that point, it makes you really appreciate those other two steps even more. Like, if it's possible for this to be a thing that really has to do with me changing something, good. If it's possible that this is a minor thing and I just need to adjust my, like, I'm just annoyed by something that isn't a big deal, then I just need to adjust that. I just need to, like, not be so weak and childish about stuff. If I go to you and I do tell you about something that's wrong, I let you be upset about it at first. It's okay that you have an initial poor reaction. And then I find somebody, I'm not looking for somebody to take my side against you when I invite somebody else. Because if you get to the point that you actually have to break fellowship with somebody, that's terrible. That's a bad feeling. So everything else that comes before it stops feeling like a chore and starts feeling like a, like you're so grateful that there are all these other steps you could take before just cutting somebody off. Does that make sense? With that thing at the end that could happen, that you treat them like a tax collector or as a person who's not in fellowship, because that's where thing can get to, it causes you to go back and look at all the ways that Jesus has given, that the Bible has given us, and says, like, here's what you can do to restore this relationship. You want that. The best of your ability. You want it to be something that you need to change. You want it to be something that you can just let go of. You want it to be something that when you address the other person, you don't take offense at it. And you want to deal with somebody else involved that isn't trying to, like, be on your team against that other person. You want every step along the way because you don't want to get to the point that you are cut off from somebody. That's the worst. Okay? As Christians, as followers of Christ, he has given us this ministry of reconciliation, this process, these steps that we can take to be restored to one another. And at every opportunity, let's take that. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. And the wisdom that we find over and over again about how to have a better life, Lord, not an easy life, but a much better life that comes through taking the hard steps to repent and to be a part of your kingdom, Lord, to be a part of your ministry of reconciliation. Very worth it. Much better life there. And I thank you for that life that we have as we submit our lives in faith to you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.